Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Joe McCormick, and it's Monday. Time for the listener mail. We just want to say the listener mail you have sent us. That's sort of redundant, isn't it? The mail you have sent us. We're going to read it to you. Are you ready? Let's get right into it.
Yes. I mean, listener mail is sent. It does not emerge spontaneously. I guess it could, but that we would get so much just completely nonsensical listener mail. It would only be on rare occasions that coherent sentences would form if we were just pulling them out of the abyss.
Rob, do you want to do this first one from David?
Sure. This one comes to us from David, and this is what David has to say. Hello there, Robert, Joe, and Seth. I am a sixth grade English teacher in North Texas and wanted to thank you guys for providing such great content. Our curriculum in my school district includes a section about science fiction, and we read the terrific short story Key Item by Isaac Asimov. Not to give anything away, but the story is about an all-powerful computer that humans are dependent on, refusing to complete any work until a very human-like key item is added to its programming. Prior to reading the story aloud to my students, I listened to your episode Punish the Machine, and I found that to be a terrific segue to have a discussion with my students about the future and legality of robots. I spoke about the interesting and thought-provoking questions you guys discussed in these episodes and managed to tie it in with the unfortunate incident that involved a Tesla and two people who sadly passed away after it drove into a tree. My students were really engaged in the conversation, and they themselves brought up some interesting questions and ideas about how the future involving robots may seem. Anyways, I just once again wanted to thank y'all for the great content y'all put out, and hopefully I've turned some of my students onto your podcast. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, David.
Oh, thanks, David. Well, I'm curious now what questions your students brought up. I want to know, like, where the mind of a younger person goes with this.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't remember Key Item. I don't know if I've read that one. I did recently pick up iRobot, and I was just going to read some of it to my son, and we started just on the first one in there, and it starts with like a little girl playing with a robot, and we read that part, but then it switched to like a stereotypical like 1950s dad reading a newspaper. It got kind of boring quick, and then also I realized, oh, I don't know the story. Maybe I skipped this story when I read iRobot back when I was a kid. So maybe I'll just come back and make sure I pick out a really good one to introduce him to Asimov with.
I think if that's the first one, I think that the little girl is the young Susan Calvin who grows up to become the robo-psychologist.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess I'm just more familiar with the later Susan Calvin stories. So yeah, I want to make sure that I read a really good one to him. So I may skip around a bit. And I know super dark things don't usually happen in Isaac Asimov short stories, but I wasn't sure. It's like I'm just flying into this story with blinders on. I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, I read those, the iRobot stories when I was pretty young, and I remember getting into them, even though thinking back on them now, I mean, they are all very interesting. Free of extraneous sort of literary detail. They're more, they're sort of tight thought experiments, and they're kind of dry in that sense. Like, you're not going to get lots of descriptions of the feast and things right. like that.
But he liked the idea of the little girl playing with the robot, so.
Yeah. All right. Should I do this next message about Dissolver of Worlds?
Let's do it.
This is from Brett, who's written in a bunch of times now about chemistry-related topics. Brett says, "Hello, gentlemen. I hope this note finds you are well and enjoying life. Wanted to comment that almost sounds like a threat. I know you didn't mean it that way. Anyway, wanted to comment briefly on your recent episode for Dissolver of Worlds, which was great, by the way. As a chemist, we use the phrase to dissolve as a way of using a solvent to break up a solid into its molecular entity. For instance, when you add sugar to coffee, yes, I'm writing this in the morning, the sugar dissolves into the hot aqueous solution. So what does dissolving mean? It refers to the ability of the solvent to break the bonds that form a crystal, so each sugar molecule now is surrounded by the aqueous constituents. Now, when you mentioned acids like HF or hydrofluoric acid, this is a different form of dissolving because something like hydrofluoric acid actually reacts with glass because of the strength of the silicon-fluorine bond, one of the strongest in chemistry. In essence, one is performing a chemical reaction or a chemical transformation because what comes out is different than what was put in. I've mentioned in the past that we use deuterated solvents in order to take an NMR, that's nuclear magnetic resonance, of compounds that we make in order to characterize them. And if the solvent reacted with our compound, then we have a problem. As for a metaphor, dissolver of worlds would be more of how one substance is transformed into another, be it by an idea or physical manipulation, but to simply dissolve would not change the substance at all at the atomic level. As a side note, if you take table salt and dissolve it in water and then let the water evaporate, sometimes you end up with these flat square crystals that are really cool looking. Yes, I've seen this before, Brad. Sometimes it can make almost unsettling little pyramids that are, you know, like what the tardigrades have built as a monument to the soul of their dead king or something. Anyway, Brett finishes saying, "Thank you again for such great fodder for the mind. Looking forward to hearing your voices again next week. Cheers, Brett."
All right, here's another one. This one comes to us from Amelia. "Hi, Robert, Joe, and Seth. I've always really enjoyed the diversity of topics you cover in your show, and I really love hitting play and being surprised by the topics I hear throughout the day. I've learned so much. This is a huge throwback, but I was so surprised to find out that not everyone feels pain in their dreams. I have vivid memories of being sick, hurt, and even unbelievably tired in my dreams, though I rarely feel that way when I wake up. I'm really enjoying Weird House Cinema. I love cheesy horror movies, and these have all been right up my alley. I've been a sporadic listener for about 3 years now. I started listening when I took a job at an animal research facility to keep my mind busy during the surprisingly monotonous process of animal husbandry in a research setting. I've been meaning to write in to suggest you cover laboratory animal science as a topic on the show. You guys frequently reference papers which use research animals. I'm sure you would find it really interesting to delve into the history of animal research. How much of our daily lives has been improved due to their sacrifice? For example, the primates and ferrets whose sacrifice made the COVID vaccine available as fast as it was. And the alternative methods being researched to replace animals in medical research. I also think you guys would find a very eloquent way to discuss the controversy and ethics behind animal research. While I'm on the topic, I'm absolutely sure that you would be able to make a great episode about compassion fatigue. While I experience it as an animal technician, vets, nurses, and various other professionals who care for people and animals which are sick and dying experience it as well. COVID has brought a little more attention to it, and I think you guys would really be able to make a good episode on the topic. I'm still trying to convince my fiancé that he would absolutely love your show and just saw that you did a two-parter on Star Wars alien necropsy. I think I may succeed tonight when I show him that. Thanks for all the info and laughs, Amelia.
Sounds like a good bet, though I think you got to do more than show it to him.
Look, well, I mean, I assume she means play it for him. That's why we try to do a variety of topics on the show. Is like, we know that not every topic's going to be for every listener, but, you know, there are going to be some they're going to call to new listeners and old listeners alike.
All right. Well, we got a few more dealing with the Star Wars episodes. I wonder if you should read these, Rob, because these reference species from things that I have no idea about.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the first one. This one comes to us from Jeff. Hi, guys. Love the two-parter on Star Wars alien biology. I have a couple of suggestions for alien species from the Star Trek universe whose biology might make a good discussion topic. Horta. Original series episode, Devil in the Dark. A silicon-based life form that secretes acid to dissolve solid rock, which it moves through. Every 50,000 years, all Horta die off except for a single mother Horta who watches over the next generation of eggs.
See some obvious biological parallels there.
Yeah, and I haven't seen a lot of original Trek. I'm not really an original Trek fan, but I did watch this episode when I was a kid. I think I was staying with my aunt, and I got to, or maybe not. I don't know. This is one of the rare. There are only a couple of episodes I've seen, and this is one of them. But I probably watched it when I was too young. It was maybe a little too high minded for like a little kid. Mm-hmm. But I do remember the creature being interesting. Luckily, the next specimen that Jeff brings up is from Next Generation, which I'm very familiar with. Jeff writes, Trill, introduced on The Next Generation, this species was further fleshed out through the Deep Space Nine character Jadzia Dax. Trill are a joined species consisting of a long-lived slug-like symbiont living inside of a humanoid host body. A symbiont is transferred to a new host whenever the current one dies, preserving the memories of previous lifetimes which the host can draw upon. Hope you find this interesting. Keep up the great work. Jeff.
Okay, so yeah, you did watch Next Generation. What's the deal with Trill? You into these?
Yeah. This is like like Jeff said, these were there were certainly more of them on Deep Space Nine because you had Dax, and so it's like a humanoid and this slug-like organism, and they form this symbiotic relationship and become one being, and so I don't remember all the details, but there are whole episodes where they get into sort of the nature of this in their culture, the idea that you will eventually fuse with this slug-like creature and become one.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right. This one deals with, let's see, Star Wars Alien Necropsy and Weird House Cinema. It's from Tantri. Tantri says, hey, guys, I've been catching up on the Weird House Cinema episodes and just watched / listened to the Silent Films double feature. I loved Cinderella particularly. My dad is a Balinese shadow puppeteer, so I've definitely seen Prince Ahmed, but I was unaware of Cinderella. One note, I think the magic tree she keeps talking to is supposed to be a willow tree growing on the grave of her dead mother in the Grimm's version, which is why it's growing in a graveyard, and the birds are kind of extensions of the tree and the soul of the dead mother. There are other Grimm stories with trees serving as vehicles of communication for the murdered people buried beneath, like the juniper tree. For more Lotta Reiniger-style animation, check out some of the Decembrists' videos, like their video for The Tane and The Bachelor and the Bride. I've actually seen the Decembrists in concert, so sometimes they do very theatrical stuff, and I have not watched these videos yet, but I think I've seen bits of them before, and I think they use this similar style, like silhouette animation, like she did. Anyway, Tantri goes on to say, as for Star Wars, you may already have this book, but if not, Rob, you and the boy will love it particularly. It is called The Wildlife of Star Wars, A Field Guide, and it is purely illustrations and creature factoids by Terry Whitlock, a creature designer for Star Wars / Lucasfilm. I think the book is out of print, but you can still find often expensive copies online. It's worth it to get the hardcover purely because it's embossed like lizard skin, and I'm not sure if they did that with the paperback. And then she attaches a link.
Yeah, so I immediately went out and ordered a copy of this. I didn't get the hardback. I went a little cheap and got a used copy of the softback. But I'm excited to get it in. I'm like I said, always game for a good monster manual type book, monster biology, and certainly any more Star Wars alien content. So maybe it'll aid us in a future return to this topic. All right, here is another Weird House Cinema response that largely deals with something that we've been, I don't even know if we started talking about this on Weird House Cinema or it is just a conversation that we keep going on listener mail. Mm-hmm. But Jamie writes in and says, "Dear Robert and Joe, a quick piece of listener meta mail from Edinburgh here, weighing in on the question of why Sean Connery's Egyptian-come-Spanish character in Highlander speaks English with a Scottish accent. I think the answer is neither he nor Connor MacLeod are speaking English. As a 16th-century inhabitant of the Scottish Highlands, MacLeod would almost certainly have been a speaker of Gaelic, and probably a monoglot one at that. Clan chiefs might have sent their sons south to learn English, but Connor, although a warrior, doesn't seem to be that far up the MacLeod hierarchy, and in any case would not have spoken English in normal conversation. I think this is just one of those, actually in another language, but everyone speaks English moments in films. Perhaps Ramirez has been around so long that he has become proficient in many languages, including Scottish Gaelic. It is odd that the Scottish actor is not playing a Scottish character and the French actor, with undisguised accent, is, but there you go. In any case, the accent of Scottish Gaelic native speakers speaking English is quite distinctive and probably wouldn't be recognized as a Scottish accent by people outside of Scotland. Just a wee note on something that pricked my interest. Keep up the good work. It's a great podcast. Jamie." And yes, Jamie brings up a fabulous point. And one that I should have thought of: why on earth did I watch all those seasons of Outlander if I wasn't going to realize that these characters would have been speaking Gaelic?
Now, what if Highlander went in a more Outlander direction?
It could easily. I'm surprised. Honestly, I'm surprised they had, given the success of Outlander, they haven't done that. That's probably one of the energies fueling these efforts to bring it back to some degree. It's like romance it up a bit, you know, make it a little more, Scottish-centric. Yeah, it could work. I'm for it. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astaproallergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's see. Maybe we should do together these next couple messages about the humanoid, the Star Wars ripoff film that we covered, I guess it'll be a couple of weeks ago now. So the first one is from a listener calling themselves Trebek. I doubt that's the real name, but Trebek says, "Hello, guys." And this is in response to us saying that that Richard Kiel and the humanoid never did the like heads bonking together move.
Mm-hmm. Generally a giant character or a largish character, a strongman character, will come up behind two stormtroopers or red shirt guards, grab them by their heads, and conk them together like coconuts to knock them out.
Right. And we said it's just disappointing that that never happened in the movie. Well, Trebek says we're wrong. Trebek says there is a Blanc the Heads Together moment in The Humanoid. It is quick. It happens during the second attack of the humanoid while the troopers are climbing out of the speeder. I'm sorry, that doesn't narrow it down for me, so I don't know where in the movie this is. There is a line you can queue up if you can find it. Trebek says it's immediately after the "he's rather irritated, isn't he" line. Thank you for being awesome, Trebek.
Oh no, thank you for being awesome and pointing this out. Yeah, I must have missed it. I must have been looking down or making a note or checking something on IMDb related to the film. But I'm glad it's in there. I feel like the universe makes sense again.
What is wrong with our brains that you and I both watched The Humanoid making notes?
Yeah, it's a select few people have done that, I imagine. At least making notes on the humanoid, studying this work.
Yes, we're operating in a very niche field, I would say. Okay, but from there, I'm going to jump straight down to this message from Kenneth, which is also about the humanoid. So Kenneth says, "Hi, Rob and Joe. As always, I'm a sucker for a Star Wars clone, and I always loved Jaws as a Bond character, so on your recommendation, I thought I would give the humanoid a go. You commented that the opening text crawl made the universe feel small, and I would say that was pretty accurate. I found it interesting that this followed through into all aspects of the movie." And then we get examples. "When the budget Star Destroyer passes slowly over the camera, they were trying to convey the same epic scale as Lucas, but later when Grawl's ship is landing on planet Nixon, you can see that it's only meant to be about 50 meters long."
The name of the movie made me pause for thought, as well as, obviously, Lady Agatha's incredible hair. And I remember that's Barbara Bach's strange helmet slash hood slash hairdo in that mm-hmm. movie. It was kind of hard to tell which of the three it was. Now, regarding the name, the humanoid, Kenneth says, "It occurred to me that the term humanoid normally describes a creature that shares our general body form. It's normally used to find what's most familiar about an alien. However, if Golob was originally human, then his transformation left him as human in form only. To become the humanoid was actually to diminish him." Hmm. I think that's right. My second thought was about that hairdo. I think Barbara Bach's character was meant to look like a snake. Oh. If you imagine a hooded viper or a cobra with its head down, ready to strike, it looks very much like her coiffure. This perhaps tracks with the, quote, fangs in the life goo draining plastic maiden device. Remember, she was like a space battery. She was like sucking the life force out of mm-hmm. the local space peasants.
Yeah, she needs the fix every day. Otherwise, she'll age minutes or you know, centuries at a time.
Right. But Kenneth also points out that the lower half of her costume has a scale-like pattern on the fabric. So I think you're on to something here, Kenneth. I think that went right over my head.
Yeah, it totally makes sense now.
Now, after this, Kenneth attaches a recommendation that has already been suggested for Weird House Cinema, and we've already talked about, so I'm not going to go into too much detail, but Kenneth is like, hey, do Lair of the White Worm, and I'm saying, Kenneth, we've already talked about we're going to do Lair of the White Worm. We love Lair of the White Worm.
Yes, yeah, it's on the list. A lot of films on the list. And hey, we heard from another listener who has a film to put on the list. And I don't think this one was currently on said list. From Colm. Hey guys, greetings from Dublin, Ireland. First time contacting you after many years of listening to your excellent podcast. Just came across a film while browsing the web that you might consider for Weird House Cinema. It's called Slugs, and was released in 1988, according to IMDb. I've not seen it myself, but if you take one look at the poster attached, and I hope you will agree, it looks like a great candidate. On a separate note, I would love if you did an episode on lighthouses. I've always loved them, and I know it is a topic you both could easily do a few episodes on, as there would be so much to talk about. Anyway, keep up the great work. All the best from Colm, a.k.a. Synthetic Flesh.
Synthetic Flesh.
Wait, we've had a listener adopt the moniker Synthetic Flesh? Is Colm asking his friends and family to call him Synthetic Flesh now?
I don't know. I mean, go for it. Go for it. Anything that injects it into popular usage. So Slugs, 1988. This is a film that I have seen parts of, and you have perhaps seen the whole thing.
I think so. So first major note, this is actually directed by Juan Piquer Simón, or Simon with an accent over the second O. I guess that'd be Simone. The director of none other than Pod People, the immortal classic, the film that gave us Hear the Engines Roll Now, or
yes.
Flying
Idiot
Over Trout.
Control Now. Yeah.
Idiot Control Now. All I Want to Feel is the Wind in My Eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that great. Great movie.
Yeah.
but classic MST episode.
I think I actually watched this movie way back when we used to do a thing where we did some live video streaming when the company was trying to experiment with that. That didn't really go much of anywhere, but we tried to have fun with it by talking about trailers for, it was sort of a precursor of Weird House Cinema, but mm-hmm. not as fully formed, because we were trying to just sort of like live stream talking about trailers for movies that were related to episodes we had recently done. And so I think you and Christian had done an episode about gastropods. So we ended mm-hmm. up talking about like slug and snail movies. And I watched Slugs, or at least watched part of Slugs. It's it doesn't take much to imagine what it's about. It is about people getting attacked by slugs. One of the weirdest things about this is, okay, that sounds like a standard creature bee horror movie. This is actually based on a novel. That's I don't know. You wouldn't imagine a novel needed as a foundation for this kind of film.
I used to be somewhat grossed out by slugs, and I think this was the reason that I definitely didn't watch it in full for that. Also, we weren't in the habit of everyone watching every film, because we were trying to mm-hmm. like shoehorn three or four movie discussions into a single like 20-minute video or something. It was it was a bit much. I remember seeing a trailer for this one on VHS when I was a kid, and it frightened me because there's a scene where they're climbing on the toilet. And so I think for years, even today, there's like a part of me that insists that I check for slugs on the toilet before I make use of a toilet, because I feel like that movie taught me that there was always going to be a chance.
What would happen if the slugs got you?
I mean, the slugs wouldn't get you. That's the thing. I don't think they're really interested in you. But that's why it's so ludicrous, right? Like, it's something that some of us are repulsed by. We can find slugs repulsive, which isn't completely fair. Slugs do good work. They're decomposers. You know, we need them. But we take this idea of they're kind of yucky, and then we put that through the horror machine and comes out with they want to eat our flesh.
Now, in this poster for Slugs by Juan Piquer Simón, I got to point out one little problem, which is it looks like the slugs are coming out of the screaming man instead of going into him. And I don't recall the movie involving internal implantation of slugs that burst forth from the body, though I could be forgetting.
Yeah, well, you know, you often see that, right? Even if they didn't have it in the film, like, you got to juice it up for the poster. Mm-hmm. But hey, you know, it's 2021. I have so many real things to be afraid of now. I'm totally game to return to slugs if we want to. Maybe I'll become afraid of slugs again. I kind of like that. Yeah. Sometimes I fantasize about becoming about my anxieties moving back to things that don't exist, like slugs and alien abductions and whatnot. I'm like, oh man, what a time that was.
Wait, that don't exist? Oh, you mean are not actually threatening, like slugs?
Right. I mean, yes. well, slugs trying to eat your flesh doesn't actually exist. Now, granted, alien abduction phenomena, alien abduction experiences can be real, as I've stressed before. They can be real. They can be experiences that people have. I do not believe in the reality of alien abduction, so I don't think it's something that I should fear as part of my daily life. But I did go through a period of time when I was much younger, I guess when I was a kid, where I'd seen too many episodes of Unsolved Mysteries and became rather afraid of that happening to me.
Yeah, because they really play it up. They make it scary on Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, they really play it up. And, you know, I think back to the Unsolved Mysteries era where they were really hitting you with, I think they had some Sasquatch-style stuff, but they also had the alien abduction. Between that and reruns of In Search Of, that it really, I feel like, kind of put out a harmful vibe because there wasn't, I wasn't watching, like, skeptical counterpoints to any of this, you know?
And they played it alongside true crime stories.
So it was like, this is really happening. This is something you should really be afraid of. And I mean, I guess there were programs like, I don't remember if Contact went into this at all. And you had Sagan bringing his, sensible approach to the topic. But I do not remember anything on TV coming out and saying, actually, there's no evidence for this. There's some other explanations that can explain it. There was none of that. It was just Unsolved Mysteries and creepy music making you fear the sky at night.
I think I've said this on the show before, but whoever composed that Unsolved Mysteries theme should like get a Lifetime Achievement Award for making ice water run through people's veins. let's get a little sting of that.
Ooh. Yeah, it's creepy. Too creepy.
Okay, you mind if I do this one last message from James?
Go for it.
This is a result of we've had several back and forths with James now after having read his messages on previous episodes. James was the one with stuff about the TurboGrafx-16 games and about geckos. So James says, good afternoon, gentlemen. You just made my day again. Thank you. That's a great eye and equally great knowledge of the video games of yesteryear. That is indeed a poster of the very poochy Gex adorning the back of my real gecko's habitat. Oh, so you were right, Rob. That was not a fake gecko. That was a real gecko.
Okay.
But Gex is absolutely the poochy of the reptile world. So James continues, the game featured the voice of comedian Dana Gould, who delivered pop culture one-liners roughly on par with the one you ad-libbed during the podcast about the Fonz jumping the shark. The quips did not become any more amusing after hearing them repeated hundreds of times over the course of the game, but I somehow still have rather fond memories of playing it. Man, that's the thing I think a lot of game designers did not get early on, that like games that have dialogue that that occurs like once are, you know, those can be fun. That adds a lot of texture to the game. But where, I don't know, the Bubsy style thing where the character just sort of like repeats a cycle of one-liners over and over, and it sounds like Gex did the same thing. God, that's got to really get under your skin after a certain period of time.
Yeah, even on really well-crafted games with fun quips, like the video game Control has some fun quips from the character you control. Mm-hmm. But if you hear it enough, you kind of get over it. It's one of the reasons I often find myself playing video games on mute with music playing over them. It's just after a while, I just need my own Sonic realm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, finally, James asks if we have any podcast merch available. He says, I'd love to kick you guys a few bucks for a sticker or something to show my appreciation for all the content you've provided. And it'd be a lovely addition to my Gecko's Terrarium. Thanks again and take care, James. We do have some merch. Yeah, I guess we haven't talked about it much recently.
Yeah, if you go to stufftoblowyourmind.com, that will send you to the iHeart listing for this page, and there's a store button there. We have a TeePublic store. You can also go to, I think it's teepublic.com/stores/stufftoblowyourmind. And yeah, we have a number of things. We have, you know, you can get our show logo on various bits of merch, including shirts and pillows and pins and stickers. We also have some sort of fun designs here. There's a really cool Pandora's Box t-shirt design that Red Buffalo Illustration did for us. There's a Medusa one that my son drew. We also have some that I think are legitimately nifty t-shirts. And hopefully, in the very near future, we're going to be able to add some Weird House Cinema merch in there as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I actually wear our Sphere Catastrophique shirt a good bit.
Oh, cool. My son has the Skug King of the Rats shirt, as mm-hmm. well as the Squirrels Are Not What They Seem shirt. Mm-hmm. So he wears those a lot. Those are a lot of fun.
Oh, the Skug shirt is a good one, too. That's like a squirrel death metal cover. Yeah.
Death metal occult skull. Death metal occult squirrel. Yeah. So, yeah, check that out if you're interested in picking up a little merch. You know, we mostly do it. Really, the merch is mostly for fun. So we should mention it more often so that people who want to do that can do it. All right, we're going to go ahead and have Carney the Mailbot close it off there, but we have more listener mail to get to in the future. More listener mail is going to come in, and certainly send it in. If you have responses to anything we discussed here, do you have further thoughts on Sean Connery's accent in Highlander? We would, of course, love to hear it. New episodes you want to hear, topic suggestions, corrections, added insight from your life, your research, your world. Send it on in. And in the meantime, if you want to listen to other episodes of, well, Stuff to Blow Your Mind listener mail, that comes out on Mondays. Core episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Wednesdays, we throw in The Artifact, a nice little short form bit of information. And on Fridays, that's Weird House Cinema. That's our time to just talk about a weird movie at length.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, Seth Nicholas Johnson. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.